So God is love. God is a God of love. He does not just love, but he is love. Love is the essence of God's character. And we are created by love, in love, and for love. We are made in the image of God, who is love. In God's great story with mankind, with us, if God is love, the great lover, what does it make us? It makes us his beloved. God's greatest desire is that we love him back. God really wants us to have a heart-to-heart relationship with him. He wants us to be with him forever. And therefore, he has done everything to win our hearts. He demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son to save us and reconcile us to him. God loved us first. If only we would understand how amazing this love is, we could not but love him back. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The fact that God is love and that he loves us is such a fundamental truth, it's so essential and vital for our faith, that this is the very point where the devil tempted the first people, Adam and Eve, and has tempted all people ever since. He wants to make us doubt that God is good and that he loves us. Because if we doubt that, all the life goes out of our faith, and we try to make life work with our own effort. And we go down that slippery slope of independence from God and are in danger of losing heart, of being overwhelmed by bad things. Because we do not live in dependence on God, connected to the source of all life, love, peace, joy, power, and everything good. And do not live in the abundant life God wants us to have. So we have to resist this master trick from the devil. By making up our mind to believe that God is good and loves us. We say the creed here every Sunday. I call it the external creed, the facts and figures creed. And if this were a Bible study group, I would get you to write the internal creed. And the internal creed would go something like this. I believe that God is good and that he is love. I believe that he loves me and that no matter what, he uses everything for my good. I believe that I can trust him even though I may not understand him. And it goes on and on like that. So we do well to remind ourselves of those truths on a regular basis too. So what is love? What's the definition? When I looked it up in the dictionary, it said, love is difficult to define. And then it listed all the various attempts at defining love. Some say it's an intense feeling of deep affection. Others say it's not a feeling at all. It's a choice, a conscious choice and commitment, or it's actions. Some say it acts as a major facilitator of relationships. And others say that it is of central psychological importance. Some say it's a triangle of intimacy, commitment, and passion. Others say it's a triangle of attachment, caring, and intimacy. In Greek, there are five different words for love, two of which are used in the New Testament. Philia, brotherly love, and agape, divine love, the one that is unconditional, unselfish, self-sacrificial. That's the love God has for us, and we should aspire to. Thomas of Aquinas says, it's to will the good of another, to desire for another to succeed. And we all know the beautiful description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails, and so on. Whatever the definition is, love is a basic human desire, a basic human need. We need to be loved and to love. In the end, all we ever really want is to be loved. And we can tell if a person is really loved. We can see that they feel secure in that love, and it's like they have a base to operate from. And I see that in hospital too. If a patient has but one person who loves them and who they love, they can deal with everything else. But no matter how much people love us, no other person can meet our need for love completely. Only God can fulfill this deepest desire and need of our heart. In Him, we have somebody who loves us the way we need to be loved and to be persons who are loved and live life empowered by His love. Knowing and loving God is our greatest privilege and it's our greatest pleasure. And being known and loved by us is God's greatest pleasure. Life is all about love, because God is love. The most important lesson He wants us to learn on earth is how to love. And in loving, or it is in loving, that we are most like Him. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment. It sums it all up. That's it. Just love. It's that simple. It's that difficult. Loving your God and your neighbor as yourself is simple because we can just do anything and everything out of love for God. Every activity can be transformed into an act of worship when we perform it with the awareness of His presence, when we do it as an act of love for God, dedicated to Him. And the opposite is true too. According to 1 Corinthians 13, we can do the greatest things for God, but if we do not do them in love, they are meaningless. A life without love is really worthless. But if we do everything out of love or with love, it has eternal value. Loving God and your neighbor as yourself is simple because we can do it anytime, anywhere. For example, me being me, when I stand in the supermarket queue, I look at all the people in front of me and think, God loves them, each one of them. And so I pray for them. If I'm not in a hurry, then I pray, get on with it. So there are all these opportunities in every day to love, little acts of kindness, endless possibilities. Loving your God and your neighbor as yourself is simple because no matter what, we can always love. Do you remember Dorothy and Ken Godfrey who used to come here? Dorothy fell and broke her hip and ended up in hospital. And when I visited her, she said, "Aren't I lucky?" And I like, well, I was thinking that to myself. You just lost your husband of 50-odd years a few months ago. You ended up in hospital with a broken hip, and you just completely missed out on Christmas. And you think you're lucky? But Dorothy is this amazing person, this beautiful Christian, who can just enjoy God's love wherever she is and enjoy that He's with her in it all. And she was grateful for the loving care of the nurses. It did get a bit frustrating when the rehab dragged on. And we talked about that Christians are lucky because even if they can't do anything, like being stuck in hospital, they can still do the main thing, love God and love others. And Dorothy is really good like that. She loved the nurses and prayed for them, and they loved her. I mean, she really is gorgeous. So even if we can't do all the things we think we have to do for God, we can still do the one thing He thinks is the main thing and that matters most, love. There are exceptions to this. Sometimes we just cannot love and need others to love us. Loving your God and your neighbor as yourself is simple because we are made for love. That's how God made us. And we all have our own way of doing it. There is not a one-for-all formula how we are supposed to love. So we can just be our own loving selves. Books have been written about different ways we love. Who has read this one? The Five Love Languages. What are they? Well done. I find that really helpful. And another one is this one. Who's read Sacred Pathways? I've got two lent copies of both books, so you can borrow it if you like. So this one, Sacred Pathways, talks about how we feel loved by God and express our love for him. So there are the naturalists who are most inspired to love God out of doors in natural settings. There are the sensates who love God with their senses and appreciate beautiful worship services. Traditionalists draw closer to God through rituals, liturgies, symbols, and unchanging structures. Ascetics prefer to love God in solitude and simplicity. Activists love God through confronting evil, battling injustice, and working to make the world a better place. Caregivers love God by loving others and meeting their needs. Enthusiasts love God through celebration, and contemplates love God through adoration. Intellectuals love God by studying with their mind. So there are all these different ways we love God and others, and that's the beauty of community. We can't complement each other. You may have never thought about it, but how do you do love? How do you love? How do you feel loved and express your love? One of the ways I love is by the mentioned caregiving. That's my hospital ministry. The pastoral care I give to patients, their families, and staff. My ministry really is based on love. I know that God loves me, and I love him, and I love the people. I can just go into a room and love them with God's love, and they know it, and they respond to it. And that's what I do, and everything flows from that, the pastoral care I give, the prayers, and everything else. I couldn't do it any other way, and I wouldn't want to either. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's that simple. It's that difficult. Last week I was telling a colleague what I was going to preach about today, and she burst into this spontaneous mini sermon. If we would all love each other, there would be no problems in the world. No wars, no crime, no injustice. We would all just work together for the good of everyone. The mind boggles. It's true. That's how God intended it to be. And that's how it will be in heaven. But that's not what's happening here on earth. Not everybody loves everybody else, or not enough. Love gets betrayed, hearts get broken, we get hurt, we lose loved ones. People do things to each other that have nothing to do with love at all. And sometimes people are just difficult to love. Love can be very tough. It involves a lot of forgiving and not giving in to anger, resentment, and bitterness. It involves a lot of mercy, to not rub in mistakes but rub them out and extend grace. It involves a lot of prayer. It's a way of loving when we pray for people. It involves a lot of depending on God for his promise that his love is poured out into our heart by his Holy Spirit. It involves a lot of abiding in his love, making sure that nothing comes between us and him who is love. It involves a lot of learning and growing the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, and so on. It involves a lot of learning by practicing love. We do not wait for that loving feeling to hit us, but we choose to demonstrate our love of God by performing acts of love in faith that God will pour out his love through us to the other person. And so, love becomes our second nature. No, it's really our first nature, because we are made in God's image and he is love. So it's there in our spiritual genes, and we learn to live it out more and more. And thereby, we are being changed into his likeness. I was talking to the daughter of a dying patient the week before last, and she said, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. So I asked her whether she believes in love and can she see it? And she said, yes. Love is not really visible because it's not a material thing. But the daughter is right. We can see love. We can see it in the eyes of the person who loves, in what he says and how he says it, in what she does and how she does it. In the same way, we can see God. The job of the church is to make God visible. Jesus told us how to do that. He said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. Love is the badge of Christian disciples. It is the distinguishing character. Jesus would have them noted for their loving one another as something that made them stand out. This is what their master was famous for, not only for his powerful teachings, not only for his miracle working, but mostly for his great love. Nothing would be more effectual. The first Christians were known for their love. Even their adversaries took notice of it and said, see how these Christians love one another. The first church was famous for their love. Unfortunately, throughout church history, the church was sometimes more infamous for other things. Here again, the mind boggles. I'm not sure whether more about the former or the latter. The church is God's instrument on earth. We are not just to model God's love by loving each other. We are to carry it together to the rest of the world. As members of Christ's body, we are his hands, his feet, his heart. He works through us in the world. We here are the church. So what about St. George's, us here now? St. George's has got a pretty good reputation for being friendly and welcoming, and there are all the things we do for each other. Well, maybe we are not famous yet, but we are working on it. So, dearly beloved in the Lord, we are gathered here together in the presence of God because God is love, and we believe that. We build our lives on that fundamental truth and trust him and will not be shaken. And because he loved us first and has drawn us to himself with loving kindness. And because we love him and live in his love. And because we love one another and are committed to growing in our love for God and others. Let's be famous for loving.